This morning's public reading from God's Word is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, verses 27 to 36 this morning. Luke, chapter 11, verses 27 to 36. This is God's inspired, infallible Word. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bore thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God, and keep it. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall be no sign given it but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of Heaven shall rise up in the judgment with, and the Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. No man, when he had lighted a candle, put it under a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. Wow, there are a number of issues here. The first one is found in verses 27 to 28. And to my understanding, this is only found here in Luke's gospel, and it's nowhere found in the other gospels, Matthew, Mark, and John. Now, this is quite interesting, okay? Because I look at this particular passage in God's providence, and it seems to be that God anticipated the Roman Catholic Church would eventually come on the scene with their concept of Mary worship. Believe it or not, in former Catholic circles, it was once taught to little children that because of our sins, Jesus is extremely angry and mad at us all the time. And the nuns would tell you that if you got into trouble, who would you run to? Would you run to your stern father? Or would you run into the arms of your loving, caressing mother? And all of us would tell the nun, well, mom, not dad. And in that illustration, Jesus represents the stern father who is the strict disciplinarian who's going to spank his wayward child. But the child runs to the mother knowing that the compassion and the sympathy that he gets from his mother would somehow soothe and coax the father in not spanking the child. And we were told that because Jesus was mad at us all the time and he had a fly swatter big enough to crush us, Mary would come to our aid by lowering her blouse and exposing her breasts where Jesus once sucked. And Jesus' anger would be pacified, and the fly swatter would not come on you. What is this woman saying? Blessed is the womb that bore thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. Now, on the surface, you would think that this woman is paying a compliment. And to a certain degree, we can compliment the fact that God chose the womb of Mary to bring forth the Son of God into the world. And yes, when baby Jesus was a infant, totally helpless, and in need of a mother to love him and to care for him, her breasts provided milk. Nothing wrong with that. On the surface, there's nothing wrong. But notice Jesus' response in verses 28 goes a whole lot deeper than just the physical. Notice in verse 27, this woman is accentuating the physical, the carnal, the fleshly, the womb and the breasts. Both are needful to bring and to sustain a child. I would agree. But in verse 28, what level or what plane is Jesus accentuating to be the best? That which is more noble, that which is more honorable, the spiritual. He said to the woman, "Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." And beloved, in this reference Bible that I have here in the margin, it has Psalm 1:1 by the word, "Rather, blessed are they." And in the Bible, we are told in Psalm 1:1, "Blessed is the man that doesn't hang around lost people, the scoffers and the sinners, but he delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that shall bring forth his fruit in his season." Correct? What is Jesus accentuating? Not the physical, but the spiritual. Blessed are they who hear the word of God, but they go one more step than most people do in church today. A lot of people hear it, but then they forget it. Who is Jesus rising high on his pedestal? Blessed are those who hear the word of God and then obey it, who keep it. And then he goes into the signs. Now, I purposely read it in such a way that you should have picked up a little phrase, "this generation." We have a lot of people today who take Matthew chapter 24 and 25, and they take "this generation" and they take it out of its context and kick it all the way into the future. When Jesus was saying or referring to "this generation" all the time, every time when he gave that expression, he was talking to the men and the women who heard him on that occasion. He was not talking to Jews living in Jerusalem in the 21st century. He was talking to his audience in the year 30 AD. Notice in verse 29, "When the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, 'This is an evil generation.'" He was not talking of Jews living in Palestine in the 21st century. He was talking to his Jewish audience when he stood in the flesh with his body casting a shadow on the ground. They seek a sign. And on numerous occasions, they begged him to demonstrate a sign. And yet, all the miracles he did, they basically attributed to the work of Satan. And then he talks about Jonah going to Nineveh in verses 30. Okay? "For as Jonah was a sign unto the Ninevites, so also the Son of Man to be," by reference, "assigned to this generation." Which generation? The generation to whom he was speaking. Not to a Jewish generation living in Tel Aviv or in Jerusalem today. Now notice the parallelism here. Jonah answers to the Son of Man. The Ninevites answer to this generation. You have what's called Hebrew parallelism. One defining the other, one complementing the other. You find that type of Hebrew parallelism extensively used in the book of Proverbs. "Then the queen of the south comes up, shall rise up with the men of this generation," the generation to whom Jesus was currently speaking. And he's going to condemn them, okay? "The men of Nineveh," verse 32, "shall rise up in the judgment with this generation." What generation? Not Jews living in Palestine today. Not even you living in Topeka or those of you listening to me. He's talking about the generation of his time frame in 30 AD. Okay? So notice how Jesus here was judging or pronouncing judgment upon the men and the women and those who heard him in his day while he stood before them in the flesh while his body was casting a shadow behind him. And then he goes into this idea of a candle that shines light. And in verses 33 to verse 36, what we have here is Jesus here is describing the fact that if your inner nature has not been changed, if you have not been given a new heart, the light that is in you is dark. If you are still lost in your sins, if you have not come to Christ, if he has not saved you, if he has not opened your eyes to your need of him, if the hearing of the gospel just simply bounces off your forehead and it makes no sense to you, and you walk away just as empty and just as lifeless and just as dead in sin as you came to hear, if you leave that way, that same way, the candle that's within you is dark. You are depraved. You are the enemy of God. You are the rebel to God. You are an alien and a stranger to the life of God. You are lost. You are in darkness. And it's not until God the Holy Spirit comes and quickens you and illuminates you and raises you from your spiritual deadness in Adam and raises you in Christ to the newness of life, only then does the candle get lit, and the light that is within you will shine, and it will shine brighter and brighter as you give yourself to Christ and his word and to his church. In Christ's name, amen.